Well, there are new revelations today in the police shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. Authorities named Officer Darren Wilson as the person who shot Brown. But police also said Brown was a suspect in a robbery at a convenience store shortly before the shooting. Images from a video show a violent struggle between a man and a convenience store clerk. And police say Michael Brown and his friend Dorian Johnson stole a box of cigars from the store. The whole incident has, as we know, sparked 5 days of demonstrations and sometimes violent clashes between police and protesters, as well as vigils all across the country. And it has raised questions about police bias. Let's turn now to someone who trains police officers to overcome their biases, Lori Friedel, associate professor in the Department of Criminology at the University of South Florida. She's with us from Tampa. And Lori Friedel, what do you find when you speak to officers from various communities? What kind of situation are you presented with at the beginning before you have started training them on how to be fair and impartial in their policing?
Well, sometimes we go into cities who are having crises over perceptions of bias in policing, and other times agencies bring us in being proactive in their efforts to produce fair and impartial policing. In both of those, we face a lot of defensiveness and resistance on the part of officers, in part because we've been dealing with this issue, bias in policing, based on outdated notions of the science. The scientists tell us that bias these days is less likely to manifest as explicit biases like a racist, but rather manifest as implicit bias. And this occurs in even well-meaning individuals. Implicit biases can impact our perceptions, our behavior. It can occur outside of our conscious awareness. And Jeremy, what's really scary is that this occurs even in people who at the conscious level reject biases and prejudices and stereotyping.
Well, give me an example of an implicit bias.
A very strong implicit bias related to policing is the extent to which we link people of color to crime. And there are a lot of studies that measure our, quote, blink response or implicit bias that shows that many of us are more likely to see threat and perceive violence and aggression when we see a person of color rather than a white person. And this can impact our perceptions and this can impact our behavior. Some of the studies use very quick moving shoot, don't shoot scenarios. And unarmed blacks are more likely to be shot than unarmed whites.
Well, how do you tackle that? How do you get rid of that implicit bias?
Well, what the social psychologists have shown us is that we can, in motivated people, we can teach them to recognize their biases, reduce their biases, although that's not easy, but most importantly, we can manage our biases once we recognize their existence. So our training programs for various levels of the department focus on recognizing biases and then reducing and managing them.
Well, can you tell me how you might get somebody to reduce a bias that they may have where they think that an African-American male is going to be violent towards them when that may not be the case, in fact?
The key theory here is what's called the contact theory. The more we interact with individuals who are different from ourselves, including those we stereotype, that's going to reduce both our conscious as well as implicit biases. So the more we interact with Muslims, that will reduce our biases. The more we interact with homeless, transgendered, blacks, just that, and I should note here that it needs to be positive contact, that can actually reduce both our conscious as well as our implicit biases.
So you basically are saying put the cops out on the streets, have them interact with the people in their community.
Yes. Well, this theory is true for all of us, and it certainly would be true for police. A lot of departments are telling their officers, you know, get out of your car. And instead of just spending all of your police time in negative interactions like arrests, go out there and talk to the store owners. Talk to the mother who's working two jobs to put her kids through college. Talk to the man in the African-American community who's helping the kids in the afternoons stay out of gangs. So these types of contacts can be tremendously important. And let me add, Jeremy, it works the other way. The more community members who distrust police have positive interactions with police, it reduces their biases against the police department.
But then you look at what's happening in Ferguson and you look at what's happening in New York City and what's happening in Los Angeles, what's happening in New Mexico, and you wonder if nobody's following this advice.
First of all, a lot of departments, again, are striving to find ways that they can produce fair and impartial policing. There are a lot of well-meaning leaders as well as individuals out there. And the fact that our training program has more demand than we have capacity shows the goodwill out there on the part of departments. And I would also add, Jeremy, that even though this is still a current issue, great changes have been made in policing over the years. We've had great reductions in the police use of deadly force, and most of those reductions are in the reduction of shooting of African-American males.
Well, who do you think is doing a good job right now?
Well, you know, one thing I will mention, that in contrast to the Ferguson reaction to the officer-involved shooting of an unarmed black, LAPD had a similar shooting of an unarmed black in the last week. They are not experiencing riots, and I think that has everything to do with how that department has been working on its relationships with its diverse communities. This started under Bratton, and he changed in a way that I did not think possible the views of the police department on the part of the various communities of color. And that's going to make the difference. When an incident like this comes down, it's going to be that trust and confidence and that kind of bank account of goodwill that will tie the police department over.
Talking there about Bill Bratton, who used to be in charge of the LAPD and is now back in New York City as the police commissioner there. Lori Friedel, associate professor in the Department of Criminology at the University of South Florida, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.